you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jenny. My request to Brother Raj now to bring the message.
Thank you, Brother Ray. A line of prayer. O Lord, Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
I am impressed and convinced that lifting the name of our Lord Jesus Christ high above in our hearts, in our minds, in our communities will lead us to victory. No matter what circumstances we are in, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ has the power and authority to bring us to the place where He wants us to be. Coming to the message part, Hebrews, the authorship of Hebrews has been of debate. It raised some debate among the biblical scholars. So there were many names that came up, which include Apostle Paul, Clemens of Rome, Luke, Barnabas. Majority of scholars consider Paul could be the writer based on Peter's comment on Paul. If we turn to 2 Peter 3 verse 15, 2 Peter 3 verse 15, he says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with wisdom God gave him. Based on this verse, many scholars believe that this particular book is written by Paul himself. Of course, the main idea why they do people who do not consider is Paul, in all his letters, he clearly wrote his authorship many times in the beginning and the end of the letters. But in this particular letter, his name doesn't appear. Whatever it is, but I am also convinced that Paul could be the writer of this letter. And King James Version, in its title, it says, letter written by Paul. So that is about the book. And the first chapter we'll be concentrating today. The first chapter is about some comparisons. Comparisons between evangelical dispensation, that is the dispensation that we are in after Jesus Christ, and legal dispensation when the Mosaic law was ruling. And the comparison between those dispensations and the comparison between the glory of Christ compared to other heavenly beings, prophets, and patriarchal fathers. So these are the different comparisons that this chapter talks about. Let us start with verse 1 and 2. Thank you, Jenny, for the beautiful reading of this passage. So I would like to read again 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. So what He wants to say in the verse 1, what the writer wants to impress upon us is, evangelical and legal dispensations both have come from God, and both are good. The way God's message was communicated to humans was different in these two dispensations. For example, we can read that God spoke to fathers many ways, in various ways, many times, in various ways, and to us in last days through his Son. So there is a difference in the communication with which God talked about what he wants to tell us. In all these differences and comparisons, one unifying theme is that all these revelations come from one God. Thus, the writer is ensuring to the readers that the law and gospel are from the same source and are not competing with each other. The first verse, the writer says, writer lays foundation that there is agreement between law and gospel. So that is the message that we get from verse 1. Law and gospel are from the same source and there is no competing interest between them. When the writer says many times, we can take it as revelation spanning several generations during Old Testament times. Patriarchal revelation, God speaking to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mosaic period, when God gave law to the people of Israel. Prophetic period, when prophets revealed God's will. God also used different modes of communication. He not only spoke periodically at different times, but he also spoke in a different ways. He used different means of communication. In his own words, in Numbers 12, between verses 6 and 8, Numbers chapter 12, between 6 and 8, God says like this, "When the prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles." So God spoke many times means in different periodically at various times. He also used different modes of communication. So, God using such different modes of communication, the three reasons can be ascribed to this. He spoke at different times to signify different levels of maturity in the people of God, and also changing numbers, numerical numbers of people as well. Secondly, the revelation was in part. The revelation was not complete, but it was partial revelation, the second reason. The third reason is God was also preparing the way for the final revelation through his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, in these last days. So I want your attention now. What is the significance of the revelation through his Son? So, as the song very rightly describes, the man building his house on a solid rock. So this is why we have to build our church, our faith, on solid rock, which is Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the significance? The revelation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the final and finishing revelation to which nothing to be added. The canon of Scripture is to be fully settled by the expectation of, and now the minds of men are kept no longer in suspense by the expectation of new discoveries, but they rejoice in a complete revelation of the will of God for both instruction and future direction. So what it says is the revelation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the final and finishing revelation to which nothing to be added. And what we can expect more in this evangelical or period of grace is now we can expect quickening of our minds by the Holy Spirit, providing new insights and inspiration from existing canon of scriptures. Existing scriptures. Please note these things. So, thus, these last days or fulfillment of the ages has come. So, Paul has written like this in 1 Corinthians 10:11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11, while referring to what all happened during New Testament's various incidents to the people of Israel, he was referring to some of the historical facts, and now he says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So we are in the last part of the God's plan for the humankind, and we are special people because the fulfillment of the ages has come upon us. So let us move on to verse, second parts of the verse 2. Whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. So here, the writer is describing the majesty and the glory of Son of God, through whom we received this final revelation. Twofold exaltation. God has appointed him to be heir of all things. As God, he was equal to the Father, but as God, man, and mediator, he was appointed by Father to be heir of all things. So Jesus said after resurrection, all the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew 28:18. So now what is the current situation is? By him, him is Jesus. By him, God made the worlds both visible and invisible by his word and wisdom. So that is about verse 2. And now we go into verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. First, let us look at continuing glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ in saying the Son is the radiance of God's glory and is the exact representation of his being. The glory and majesty, the writer rightly describes here, saying he was the brightness of God's glory and express image of his person. In beholding the power, wisdom, and goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ, we behold the power, wisdom, and goodness of our Father. Because Jesus himself said in Gospel according to John, chapter 14 from John's Gospel, verse 7, it says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. That's what he says to his disciples. Then, next part of the verse is, he sustains all things by his powerful words. So this can be linked to the part B of the verse 2, where he talked about he is the heir of all things and through him everything is made. So he sustains all things by his powerful word. He also, he not only is the heir, he is not only is the creator, he is the sustainer of all things. Here he upholds all things by the word of his power. He keeps the world from falling apart. The weight of whole creation is on the shoulders of our Lord Jesus. Because of fall of Adam and Eve, sin entering into the world and perpetuating, and the earth being decayed under the wrath and curse of God, at just the right time, Jesus Christ entered the world and undertook the work of redemption, bound it up again and established it by his almighty power and goodness. So, if you imagine, none of the ancient prophets, including Moses, could sustain a responsibility of this magnitude. So, he indeed is superior to all the known prophets. And second part of the third verse, which is changing into the redemption plan. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The suffering Christ demonstrates the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in spite of his glory, took it as an honor to obey the Father and suffer on the cross to provide full satisfaction for the sins of his people. Because of his proper and perfect sacrifice, our Lord Jesus Christ, he has provided highest merit and infinite value to his death and blood shed on the cross, by which he atoned for our sins, our sins of the mankind, past, present, and future. As a result of Christ's suffering and providing propitiation for our sins, as predicted rightly by prophet Isaiah in chapter 52, verse 13b, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13b, he will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. God the Father now does all things by him, receives all the services of his people through him. So please note, I will repeat the last statement. God the Father now does all things by him, that is Jesus, receives all the services from his people through Jesus, through him, Jesus. And verse, so now we have sort of finished three verses. I would like to summarize what we have learned in three verses, because these three verses, this writer who is amazingly knowledgeable, it's not wonder, because it is the Holy Spirit who is writing these. So these three he packed with lots of information. So I would like to summarize the three verses. First three verses, what we learned there is evangelical dispensation, legal dispensation are from God. There is harmony between the two. Revelation, second point, revelation during Old Testament time was in parts and was communicated to people in different times and different ways through prophets. This type of revelation was not full or complete. It was just work in progress. That is second point. Third point is, in the last days, God sent his own son as ambassador and provided us full or complete revelation. Full or complete revelation, which is superior to the Old Testament revelation by prophets. Christ is the consummation of whole revelation. We do not expect any more revelation beyond Christ. This is a warning to all who look to extra gospel revelation, the revelations that are extra scriptural. There are people who still look for revelations. So this is a warning that there is no more revelation will be given beyond what has Christ already revealed to us. There is no need to look beyond the scriptures. And number fourth point is, Jesus Christ is the radiance of God's glory and exact representation of his being. Jesus Christ is the creator, sustainer of creation, as well as redeemer of creation. He is going to redeem the creation. He has redeemed the creation, but he is going to recreate as well. And so number five is, God the Father exalted Jesus Christ, the God-man and mediator, and now does all things by him and receives all services of his people through him. So that is about first three verses. Now the fourth verse, that is, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And remaining verses, between verses 5 and 13, they're all quotations from Old Testament, especially Psalms, and one I found in Samuel, to prove the superiority of Christ. So, verse 4 is saying, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And the remaining verses of the chapter, they're all quotations from the Old Testament to prove the superiority of Christ over angels. So let me now delve into this fourth and the remaining part. Verse 4. After exalting Christ above prophets, including Moses, now the writer directs his attention towards angels. Please listen carefully. There is special place for angels in the Jewish history. The law was not only delivered by men, but ordained by angels. If you look into Galatians, Paul's letter to Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, part B, second part of the verse, the law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. And hence, it was a common notion among Jewish people that the law was given by angels, and they considered attentively the honorable things spoken about angels elsewhere in the scriptures. So they always put emphasis on the importance of angels. Among them, some superstitious people, among the believers, obscured the glory of God by extolling the angels to beyond what they should be extolled, or too much exaltation of angels. So what is happening? Angels are important in the Old Testament because the law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. There's no doubt about it. And for a long time, period of time, Jewish people have been giving importance to angels. But we are now talking about believers who are Jewish. But if those people, some of them were superstitious people, and they obscured the glory of God by extolling the angels too much. So this all happened at the time in the first century when this epistle was written to Hebrews. So this is one of the reasons why they are taking pain, why the writer has taken so much pain to show that Christ is superior to angels. So here the writer of Hebrews' objective was to provide the correct perspective of angels in comparison to Christ, and not let their superstition overshadow the brightness of Christ. The writer quotes two scriptures here. The scriptures, again, let us give honor that the God, the Holy Spirit, has spoken about Christ in the Old Testament times. All these references that we are going through, God, the Holy Spirit, spoke through prophets. And so it was said of Christ, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." Psalm 2 verse 2 7. This may refer to his, there are three things that it can be referred to. It can be said about his eternal generation. It is his eternal generation. Or secondly, to his resurrection after resurrection. And it can also be said about the solemn inauguration into his glorious kingdom at his ascension at the right hand of the Father. But in any case, it is signifying the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, when we come to the second point, again, it was said concerning Christ, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." This is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." This was never said about an angel. Either the earlier verse, "You are my son, today I have become your father." This was never said about any angel. This sonship should be the fountain and foundation of every gracious relationship that is between God and the fallen man. Fallen man through his belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. So as soon as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will become children of God. That's what John said in his letter, 1 John. So, what a manner of love that God has lavished upon us, that we should be called as sons, children of God. So, that is the amazing thing that has happened when we trusted in Jesus, and that has been predicted long ago during Old Testament times in these scriptures. And the third point, it is said Christ, who God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, it is said of Christ, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." So they have taken this from Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 43. But if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 43, I think you should look at the footnotes, because this is taken from other commentaries written in 7th century. So not in the verse itself, but you should look at the footnote corresponding to verse 43. This is said about when Jesus is brought to the lower world, declaring the hierarchy of Christ in relation to angels. So God was very clear about his son's position in relation to angels. That's why he said, "Worship him, all you angels." So that is in Psalm 97 and 7. So, "Worship him, all you angels." And also it is said in Deuteronomy 32:43, "Let all God's angels worship him." Again, the writer of Hebrews compares the office of Christ and the office of angels when he writes about Psalm 45, verses 6 to 7. Psalm 45 verses 6 to 7. So you can look at it in your Hebrews later part of after 7th verse. You can see this is Psalm taken from Psalm 45 verses 6 and 7. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. So, what he is saying here, God declares Christ's dignity and dominion as having a throne, kingdom, and a scepter of the kingdom. God also declares the eternal duration of the dominion and dignity of Christ, founded upon the divinity of his person. Christ came to fulfill all righteousness. Listen to me. Christ came to fulfill all righteousness, to bring in an everlasting righteousness. He came to finish transgression and bring an end to sin. God, your God, has set you above all your companions by anointing with the oil of joy. Who are the companions of Christ here? Definitely not referring to the God the Father or the God the Holy Spirit, because they are all one. But it is referring to, number one, angels, as they are called sons of God by creation. So, God has set his Son above all your companions, including angels, number one. Two, above all prophets, priests, and kings that ever were anointed. So, he was set above all prophets and kings and priests. Number three, above all saints who are his brethren, us. He is set above all. He is the head of his church. And number four, above all those who were related to him as man, above all the house of David, all the tribe of Judah, all the brothers and kinsmen in the flesh. So he was set above all his companions, including angels. So that is the status of Lord Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm, in the heavenlies. Praise be to God that the writer has very convincingly provided evidence that Jesus Christ is superior to angels. By contrast, what has been said about angels in the Bible? Psalm 104:4. He makes winds, here winds means angels. He makes angels his messengers, flames of fire his servants. So they are God's ministers, servants to do his pleasure. It is the glory of God that he has such servants. He qualifies them for his service. He makes them spirits and a flame of fire. So listen to me. He bestows upon them with light and zeal. He bestows upon them with activity and ability. He bestows upon them readiness and resolution to do his will, to do his pleasure. They are no more than what God made them to be. And they are servants to the Son as well as to the Father. So therefore, the writer of the Hebrews authoritatively proves the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in summary, we have learned all these things, that our Lord Jesus Christ is superior and he is set above all his companions, including angels, above all prophets, priests, and kings, above all the saints, as above all those who are related to him in flesh. So, let us say in summary, I would like to read from Philippians 2 while closing. I'm closing now after this. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. So again, Paul wrote the supremacy of Christ. Supremacy of Christ. Again, very, very impressive manner. Philippians chapter 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Over to you, Ray.
Thanks, Brother Raj. We're going to conclude our service with a song from Bailey and Steve, and then after that I'll ask Brother David to give the benediction. So do we have that song now?
Yes, Ray. So we are singing, thank you again to Steve and Mei Ling. It is God Will Make a Way. God Will Make a Way. That is the hymn that we are going to sing now.